Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. One of the greatest prayers of all time. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Here's what it says. For this reason, and it's a description of the grace of God that was given to Paul to preach that happens in the preceding verses. For this reason, because the grace of God was given to me to preach, I, Paul, bow my knees in prayer before God the Father, from whom every family in heaven, a reference to angels, and every family on earth, a reference to humans, derives its name, that he, God the Father, would grant you personally, according to the riches of his glory, or another way to say that is out of his glorious riches, to be strengthened with living and enabling power through God, his Holy Spirit, indwelling the inner man, the innermost being. Ephesians 3:17-19, so that Christ may dwell and feel at home in your hearts through your faith, and that you, being rooted like a plant and grounded with a firm foundation in unconditional love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, all the believers in Christ, what is the breadth, how wide, what is the length, how long, what is the height, how high, what is the depth, how deep in nature is unconditional love, and to know the unconditional love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up, plero'o, to all the fullness, pleroma, of God the Father. This is one of the most beautiful prayers ever prayed. So let's take all the parentheses out and really listen to how beautiful this prayer sounds. This is Paul, the apostle, praying for you personally. Here's what he says. He says, because the grace of God was given to me to preach, I, Paul, bow my knees in prayer before God the Father, by whom every family in heaven and on earth, both angels and humans, are named, that God the Father would grant that you personally, out of his glorious riches, would be strengthened with his living and enabling power through God the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling your innermost being. Beautiful. You know, we overemphasize the filling of the Spirit, which is the sap, and completely forget about the person indwelling us. God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:17-19. So that Christ may feel at home in your hearts. And when does Christ feel at home in your hearts? Because of your faith in him. That you, being rooted by God like a plant and grounded by God with his firm foundation. What is the rooting by God like a plant? In himself, you're in union with Christ. What is the grounding by God with his firm foundation? That is the Word of God. And then top it off with whipped cream and a cherry, his unconditional love. That you may be able to comprehend, you and all the believers in Christ, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the nature of his unconditional love. And to know for certain, through this unconditional love of Christ, which is way better than just biblical knowledge, that your deficiencies are completely covered by all the fullness of God the Father. That is a goosebumps prayer that God, that Paul has prayed for you. And you should feel a privilege that boggles the mind when you think about how much God has you in his so great care. And so what is Paul praying on your behalf? He's praying that you as a believer in Christ recognize the importance of your union with Christ. That you are rooted, that is firmly planted in union with Christ. And he's praying that you are grounded, that as a believer in Christ, you understand that the Word of God is your life's foundation. He is praying that you understand that God does not have your back. How wide and long and high and deep means God has your back. Your front, your side, your top, your bottom. He has you completely surrounded, covered on all sides. And Paul is praying that your knowledge go way beyond just biblical knowledge, way beyond gnosis, academic knowledge, to a full knowledge of God and to take an advantage fully of his glorious riches. Welcome to Bible study. That's why we come here. We come here because Bible study is a time of renewing, and it's a time to learn about all the divine assets at your disposal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 requests that you be renewed by God in the spirit of your mind. Thank you for coming to receive this renewing, and thanks in advance for sharing this message with everyone you know. As God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. Now, if God has us covered, there is nothing to fear. If God has us covered, and he does, there is nothing to fear. The opening song is Fear Not.
Weapons formed against you, I detest. Fear not.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to understand your glorious riches. Help us to realize that you have already put in place in eternity past everything that is necessary for our complete happiness. Help us not to be disappointed with what we perceive as setbacks. Help us to instead rest in the fact that you will unfold everything to us in the proper time, at the perfect time. And although we may be impatient, although we may lose confidence in our own abilities to get the results we want, help our faith remind us to completely rely on you for the solutions that we can't achieve, because you are faithful to your believers and you always deliver. God, keep us from being discouraged. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, and it's a gift given to me by God to help you develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the sovereign of the universe, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his infallible word, his exact thinking, and it is a book with no errors, with no contradictions, with no lies. The Bible is the absolute truth. And welcome to a place where you can receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. Today's study, Romans chapter 1. Are you prepared for the quiz? This is the 9th lesson in our study of Romans, and I thought it would be a good idea to clean up some of the chronology of what we have learned so far, while simultaneously adding to your understanding of Paul's resume. As we study the Bible, everything doesn't unfold neatly, sort of like your lives. Our learning bounces us all over the place, and sometimes everything just jumbles together in such a way that it perverts our understanding of a very simple biblical subject. So in the next 3 lessons, I want us to summarize our learning thus far as we have transitioned into an in-depth study of Paul's letter to the Romans. And I also want to see how well prepared you are for the upcoming quiz that will test your diligence in being an active learner rather than a passive one. I think like an author. I like to approach biblical study from a clear structure and with simple messages. So it is a vexation to my spirit that biblical information does not come at us in a clear and linear fashion. However, I know that God knows what he's doing. And I trust more than anything that he will give us all the information we need to have a thorough understanding of everything we learn so that we can make use of it in our Christian walk. While under pressure, especially. So we can do as Paul suggests in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, Paul, the voluntary prisoner of the Lord, for the sake of you Gentiles, implore you to walk, to have a lifestyle that is reflective of, that is in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We walk in a manner worthy of the call of God to which we have been called. A calling that comes through our union with Jesus Christ. When we strike the perfect balance between our commitment to the Lord and our commitment to the personal life things that we have to manage. And a lot of times we lose sight of things. We get so wrapped up in the personal life things that we have to manage that we forget that the Lord is in charge and that he has us personally in his mind. And there never has been a time when he didn't have us personally in mind. And so we think, because we get disappointed by different things, that he isn't thinking about us and that he's off duty. He is not. He is perfection. We are not. We don't know what the perfect timing is for events for us. But he does. And every one of those unfolds at the perfect time. And he is an amazing, amazing being. And when you see him come through for you, and a lot of the things that we experience are just things we're experiencing through God so that he can show us how magnificent he is and how personal it all is for him. And when those things unfold that are surprises to us, they are not surprises to him, and he is excited to be able to show you just one more time, not to just tell you, but to show you exactly what he's going to do for you, exactly how much he cares for you. And that's exciting to me. And there are a lot of people in this congregation right now that are getting a chance to experience that. They're experiencing frustrations, health concerns, things that are scary and mind-boggling and perplexing. And yet, one after another, I see our God coming through for us. And I want you who are going through these things now to stay the course and to understand that God is going to deliver for you, and it's not a question. When? At the perfect time. He knows what you want, and he will deliver the desires of your heart. He always does. And we walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called when we exercise faith in him, knowing that his word to us is not empty. It's not chatter. It's promises that he will come through. And there's no question about it. It's not a wonder if he's going to come through. It's he will come through. Absolutely, and at the proper time. He always does. So we walk in a manner worthy when we put God on the throne of our lives and then use God and his word as our rooting and our grounding, as our foundational friend. And that's the rooting. The Lord Jesus Christ is our foundational friend, who never will leave us, never will fail us, never will forsake us, never leaving us alone, with us all the time. And he gives us a foundational thought pattern, the Word of God, so that we can relax and so that we can be confident and comfortable in every circumstance. The Bible is a chronicle of divine history. And when we study the Bible, we are studying divine history. So we've begun that quest in earnest, and I have some recommended reading for you. It's a book by a guy by the name of Lou Nichols, and it's called The Bible in a Nutshell, An Introduction to 66 of the Greatest Books Ever Written. Lou Nichols, The Bible in a Nutshell, An Introduction to 66 of the Greatest Books Ever Written. Great book, because if I ask you to read the book of Galatians, you might be disoriented by that, but you can turn to this, you can open it up to Introduction to Galatians, and then it'll tell you what it's all about. It says here, Christian Liberty Explained. Galatians is the greatest book on freedom ever written, and it tells you what liberty is. And so it gives an outline of it, and a surface outline of how the letter lays out. And it's quick, a couple of pages on each. Really, really a useful book. And I want you to have that as part of your library so that you know where I'm going, first of all, in terms of presenting information to you. But also, when you want to just do things on your own, you have a resource. And I'll recommend a lot of resources to you. And the resources that I recommend to you will always be the simple resources that give you simple, clear information and not chasing rabbit stuff where you get to sit there and be frustrated about everybody talking about every possibility ever. So divine history is divided into a series of time periods, and those time periods are called dispensations. And each dispensation has, on the one hand, common attributes, and on the other hand, unique attributes. So here are the dispensations. There's the age of the Gentiles. There, that is Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ making five promises to him, and the Jewish race, the specialized racial species. Then there's the age of Israel. That's Moses. Moses getting the Jews out of Egypt, getting them across the Red Sea, traipsing them across the desert for 40 years, and leading them to the Promised Land, although he did not get to take them in. And that lasted 483 years, and the Jews were set aside for a period of time. In came Christ in the age of the hypostatic union, 33 years, the incarnation it's called, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth. Then the church age, that is the age that we are in right now. The age of grace. The age of no prophecy. The age that will end with the exit resurrection of the church, which is nicknamed the rapture. Then the tribulation to finish off the age of Israel. 7 years, the worst 7 years in the history, in divine history. That will end with the second coming of Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years while Satan is locked up for 1,000 years, and we will reign with him. And when that ends, the earth and the universe as we know it will be destroyed, and the new earth and the new universe will be created, and it will have no seas. And we will live face to face with the Lord forever. So divine history is divided into a series of time periods called dispensations. And they have common attributes and unique attributes. For example, in every dispensation, there's only one way to get to heaven. What is that? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 2. John chapter 14, verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his apostles. Very close to the end, John chapter 14, because John chapter 15 is the chapter where the Lord starts warning the apostles of his impending trip to the cross. Verse 14, chapter 14, beginning at verse 2, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ points out about the one way to get to heaven that is common across all dispensations. John 14, 2. In my God the Father's house, there are many dwelling places, mansions. If you're a believer in Christ, guess what? You have a mansion waiting for you in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, but it is, first class condition, if in the Greek, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have told you, for I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. John 14, 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, and I do, you believers in Christ, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we know that that's true from Psalm 23. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps on shepherding you. You cannot lack. And even though you walk through your very own death-shadowed valley, you cannot fear. He with me, he will come back and receive you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. John chapter 14, verse 4, and you know the way where I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am going. And he's saying that because I have been teaching you. Doubting Thomas, John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, indicating his knowledge that Jesus is God, we don't know where you're going. By what means do we come to know the way? John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, Thomas, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the way to salvation. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the truth through the word of God. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. I am the way. So in every dispensation, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed to that generation. In every dispensation, there are unique attributes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, do not get drunk, being fully influenced with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled, fully influenced by God, by means of the indwelling Spirit. Here is where we underestimate God. You see, we have for years, in our study of systematic theology, underestimated God by misinterpreting what filling of the Spirit exactly is. and it completely ignoring the indwelling of the Spirit. Look, the indwelling of the Spirit means that God the Holy Spirit is in you. God the Holy Spirit is fully influencing you, fully directing you. So when you look at this verse, Ephesians 5:18, you see that one full influence is the influence of things like wine, things that keep you out of touch with reality, things that, like the old self. But another way to be fully influenced, and by the way, that's the Greek word pleroo. It means to be fully influenced. It means to fill up a deficiency as well. But here it's fully influenced. Do not get drunk being fully influenced with wine. That's dissipation. That's not it. That's the old self. Instead, be fully influenced by God the Holy Spirit, the indwelling part of Him. Yes, pleroo, that fills up a deficiency. But all throughout the New Testament, we're talking about in pneumati, in the Spirit. In the Spirit, indwelling the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. It is God, the person, that is in charge of your spiritual life, not some force. It is the vine, God, the Holy Spirit, not the sap that drives our life. And we are the branches. He is the vine, we are the branches, and there is sap, pleroo, something that fully influences us, something that fills up our deficiencies. But we miss it. Being fully influenced by the indwelling Spirit, in pneumati, is unique to the church age. So in every dispensation, there are common things that go across the dispensations, but there are also things that are unique. And in the church age, it is unique to be indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. You're a special believer. So we're embarking on an in-depth study of the Bible, and it is my sincere hope that the depth of your study continues to increase. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible, and if you look within a physical copy of the Bible, it has an index that delineates the names of each book. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the instruction set to the age of Israel. There are 27 books in the New Testament. The New Testament is the instruction set to believers in the church age, which is the present era of divine history. So that's kind of where we started in our study of Romans. We said, first of all, we got to think about this thing. We're studying the Bible, has an Old Testament, a New Testament, and is separated by the cross. Let's pick it up there after your 5-minute break.
Shout from the sky, you are coming.
Welcome back. So our biblical study starts with a Bible that is divided into 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, and the cross separates things. Now, you are a church age believer, and the New Testament is God's set of instructions to all of you. The New Testament gives you His instructions because you are a new spiritual species which God the Father created to eliminate the barrier to relationship between God and man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers are, of course, he is a new spiritual species. The sovereignty of the old self has passed away, has lost its power, but behold, new spiritual species things have come. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have his absolute righteousness. Your union with him means you have an unbreakable relationship with him, an unbreakable relationship with the sovereign God of the universe. Now, do you think for a second that he's not going to give you everything you want? Do you think for a second that he would ever consider not giving you everything that you want? The answer is a loud and resounding, absolutely not. He's going to give you everything you want. Ask and you will receive, seeking you will find, knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks it will be opened. We underestimate our God. So that cross was the destination for the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his 33 years on earth, leading to a death on a cross and a resurrection from the dead. And that is the dividing line between the Old and the New Testament. Anything from the Old Testament that is relevant in the New Testament is repeated in the New Testament. We talked about the first four books in the New Testament chronicle this incarnation of Christ. It tells us all about his life, that 33-year period of his time on earth. Now, when we're overviewing books of the Bible, as we will be, Pastor John Farley recommended, I think I missed a verse. I was talking to you about the incarnation. Did I miss a verse? Yeah, I think I did. Here it is. The Word, God the Son, became flesh, Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm missing a page. That's what it is. There it is. I knew that. I had my pages out. Did you do that, Denny?
Yes.
Denny did that. Did you see him do that? Okay, good. John 1:14 says this, and the Word, God the Son, became flesh, Jesus Christ, and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the uniquely born one from God the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So as we study our Bible, the first four books of the New Testament are all about that incarnation of Christ. The Gospel of Matthew is about Jesus Christ the King. The Gospel of Mark is about Jesus Christ the Servant. The Gospel of Luke, the Doctor, is about the Lord Jesus Christ's true humanity. And the Gospel of John is about his deity. The fifth book of the Bible, Acts, is about the formation of the church. So you start to learn about the missionary journeys of Paul. And he made three missionary journeys. The sixth book of the New Testament is Romans. That's the book of salvation by grace. And that's the book we're embarking on. We're studying the sixth book of the New Testament, the letter of Paul to the Romans. And in a moment, I'm going to give you a short overview of it. But that's what I want you to be able to do. I want you to be able to say the first four books of the Bible are about Christ's life. Matthew reports on this. Mark reports on this. Luke reports on this. John reports on this. So if you ever need anything, one of the great places to go when you get lost in life is to go right to the book of John and start reading it. Because you get reminded that you have deity on your side. And John is the apostle that Jesus loved, according to him. And he talks all about this God. If you're ever associated with Jewish people, the ones who don't believe in Christ, they will tell you, yeah, Jesus was a good rabbi. And Jesus was a good man. And Jesus was a good prophet. But they'll never say anything about him being God. As a matter of fact, they'll say he isn't. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us at a cross. Those three things are game, set, match. And you know who he did it for? You. And if it had been only you, he would have done it for only you. It's amazing. And so I just want you to be able to click through this. If you want to know how the church formed, Acts, 28 chapters. Boom. Awesome. And if you want to know about salvation by grace and the fundamentals of the Christian way of life, the book of Romans. So here's a short overview of Romans first. And this is the overview that is in the Bible in a nutshell. It says that chapters 1 to 11 are what Christians believe, and chapters 12 to 16 are how Christians are to behave. Pastor John Farley recommended another way to look at a letter in overview. He said to ask yourself as you're reading it, where does the letter start? Where does the letter take you? And where does the letter end? And I find that overview method very useful. And I'm wondering if you have used this method as you read the first chapter of Romans, or if you've used this method when you read the entire letter of Paul to the Romans. Has that been helpful for you? Now, here's a more detailed overview of Romans chapter 1. Here's what that looks like. It's 32 verses. First 7 verses are the introduction. That's what we're studying right now. Verses 8 to 15, the prayer for and intention of Paul's ministry. Verses 16 and 17, the gospel is salvation by grace through faith. Really the theme of the book, salvation by grace. And then verses 18 to 32, God's wrath against the sin of unbelief. And it talks about dispels all the mythology about unbelievers. Oh, well, what if people never knew? What if they didn't really know? They know. They know and have rejected. They know. So, when we begin the study of a letter, here's a helpful set of questions that you might ask yourself in the very beginning. Who is the author of the letter? What are the author's credentials? That's what we're studying right now. We're studying Paul's credentials. Who are the recipients of the letter? Who's going to receive it? Who, if anyone, is with the author as he writes? And what is the greeting? So in the very beginning, in the introduction, you'll always see that. So this is what we laid out for you as we began this journey. Now it's laid out in a chronological order and in one place. As we prepare to study a letter, a great exercise in learning is to create a quiz for yourself so that you ensure that you really comprehend what is being communicated in the letter. For example, for the introduction of Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, I developed a quiz to prepare you for as I taught. And I want you to check your knowledge as we go over the questions, but turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 7, and we'll just read it together just to remind you of what you've seen so far, just to stimulate your thinking. And I'm doing this because I talk to people regularly, and I'm surprised at the rapidity of forgetting. It's really funny how fast we forget, and I just continue to be more and more convinced that doing anything one time is kind of stupid as it relates to biblical teaching. Just teaching people things one time, they forget really quickly. Romans chapter 1, here's what it says. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Four things in there. And so you can ask yourself four questions. Who is Paul? What's a bondservant of Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be called? What's an apostle? What does it mean to be set apart for the gospel of God? Actually, five things. You create a quiz to make sure that you know that stuff and you don't just gloss over it. So Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, so he is God the Father, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, this Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, we being Paul, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, you are a Gentile, unless you're Jewish, for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go back over that, can you put that slide up again, Van? When you go back over that, you can go back and ask, okay, does the introduction tell me who the author is? Does it tell me the author's credentials? Does it tell me who the recipients of the letter are? Who, if anyone, is with the author as he writes? And what is the greeting? And so we see in verse 7, for example, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greeting, right? Who's the author? Paul. What are the author's credentials? We're giving you 10 resume points. Who are the recipients? The saints at Rome. Who, if anyone, is with the author as he writes? No one. He's alone on this one. All right, so I prepare quizzes like that to stimulate my thinking and to make me an active learner. Well, here's the quiz that I gave you, but I've added some things to it. So just to throw you a curveball so that you don't get comfortable. Comfortable. Comfort is your enemy, right? Amen? Amen. So here's the quiz. It's now expanded to 15 questions. And I just want you to think about it as you hear these questions. Do you know the answers to these questions, or do you know where to get them? Now, I remember when I first introduced the quiz, you were all up in my face, right? Especially June over there. You remember that? You know? You had a great memory, it's just short. All right, ready? All right, so the first question is this. Who wrote the New Testament letter to the Romans? Paul, exactly. Good. What do we know about him, by the way? What is his name, Paul or Saul? Both of those are his name? Why is that? All right, he has a Roman name and a Jewish name. Not bad. All right, next. What is a bondservant? What's the Greek word for a bondservant? Doulos. Right, what is that? A voluntary slave in service to a master. Very good. How about this? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? God. Nice. Anything else you'd say about him? He's the man. What? He's my husband, June said. That's awesome. He is Hologos, and that's the Lord part. He's true humanity. So 100% God, 100% true humanity. In one person forever, the uniquely born one. Lots that we can say about Jesus Christ. That could take a long time. Next question. What three things make the Lord Jesus Christ unique among those who call themselves gods? Three things. What are they? The resurrection. Huge. The cross. Fully God, fully man. 100% God, 100% man. Exactly. Next, who is Paul? He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Exactly. And there are a lot of things we can say about him. We're learning those things now. What does it mean to be called? Say it. It's to be invited to a privilege. And by being invited to a privilege, you are set apart. That's accurate, Denny. Next, what is an apostle? What's unique about an apostle? They've seen the resurrected Christ. Exactly. And there's more we can say about that. What's the difference between an apostle and you? You haven't seen the resurrected Christ. You don't even know who Christ is. Okay, nah, just keep going. What does it mean that the Lord Jesus Christ is born a descendant of David according to the flesh? Say again. Yeah, he's in his bloodline. It means that. What else? He's in the bloodline of a scumbag. Exactly. David, who was a great king, but was also an adulterer, a conspirator, and a murderer. Exactly. Next, what does it mean to be set apart? Is to be sanctified for privileges. So sanctification is that word, and we're going to study that next week. What is a minister? Yeah, somebody who's responsible for a message. A pastor is a minister. Somebody who's been assigned by God to something. What does it mean to be beloved? It's a believer in Christ, but what does it mean to be beloved? Cared for, God considers our problems to be his responsibility. Loves you like crazy, loves you like crazy. Unconditionally, exactly. What is a saint? Any believer in Christ, great. What is grace? Ah, nice. Silence. I don't know. I don't have any. What is grace? It's a free gift from God by which he meets rebellion and indifference with a tolerance that is absolutely supernatural. What's the significance of being at peace with God? If you miss this one, I'm going to be very upset. What is the significance of being at peace with God? There's no condemnation. What else? All our sins are forgiven. And what else? God has nothing against you. All right, we've heard that in the Lord's Supper for a lot of time. So what I want from you, you did real well with the quiz on the surface. What I want from you is the depth that backs that up, especially the verses that back it up, right? So those are the things that I expect you to be doing during the week, is spending some time alone and looking at that quiz and really bringing things together that we have already taught. You can go into the notes. I think one of the most underutilized resources on the Barah Ministries website is the pastor's notes, that you can download the pastor's notes, print them, and then study from them so you can see and hear and go over and reinforce what you're learning. So a good teacher gives you the questions that will be on a test, the answers to the test, and then the test. And after we complete our study of Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, you should have all of the answers to these questions with the verses for backup. And if you're a good student, you will know the answers to these questions right off the top of your head, and you'll be able to recall them under the pressure of a quiz. And you'll be able to teach them to someone else, because that's really how you become an active learner. And that's something that I have had lost for a really long time. Other than teaching you, I didn't spend much time teaching the people in my periphery. And I've started to do that again. And it's really amazing to be able to do that and then to see that, first of all, how well can you articulate in a simple fashion what you're learning, and then to see what their response to it is. And see, one of the things that I know is I've been talking to a lot of Christians, right? And I've been talking to them about various things. I ask them about, do you know what absolute righteousness is? Do you have it? What's the admission ticket to heaven? You know, what does it mean that you're justified? The Bible says you're justified. What does that mean? And then being able to explain those things to them in really simple ways that they get immediately. And to say, okay, you are justified. That means that right after God gave you absolute righteousness, he went through the halls of heaven and announced your name and said that you are justified. So everybody in heaven knows your name and knows that you're justified. Now, this week, did you beat yourself up about something? Why would you, as a justified person who has absolute righteousness, who is in union with the sovereign of the universe, beat yourself up about anything ever? I'll tell you why. Because we forget. We forget. We hear it. You can't hear it enough. We hear it. We forget. We forget that we're a saint. We forget that God is a God of grace. We forget that God doesn't have anything against us. We forget all those things. My job is to stir you up by way of reminder and to keep bringing to your attention all the things that you have as divine assets, his glorious riches, which he is freely bestowing on you through the Beloved, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Closing song, shout to the Lord. Because of all of those things, you should shout to the Lord.
My Savior, Lord, there's none like you.
Oh, welcome back. So I just want to remind all the people who are listening in the soon-to-be resident congregation that we have a separate announcement. We have a separate lesson for announcements now. And so please make sure that you listen to that. Don't miss it. And I think that got lost on some of the folks because we weren't verbal enough about it. So some closing thoughts. I think that it's really important to open your heart. It's really important to open your heart. When you open your heart, a word has gone through your thought, and that word is accept. And I think what we do a lot of times is we just keep running around a little bunny trail. Just keep running around in a circle. And I think that running around in that little circle is our attempt to create our own reality. We don't have a reality. We don't. God has the reality. We get to play. And when you open your heart and when you just accept, that's the point when God can do things. When you just open your arms and say, give it to me, that's when God really does things. He does his best work. He does his best work when you're the most desperate. And when you're desperate, you only have two choices. You open your heart and accept that he's going to take over, or you try to do it yourself. Do it yourself does not work. Because do it yourself comes from a closed heart. I accept comes from an open heart. And when that magic happens, it's unbelievable what God can do to us, not to him. And he's going to do it. He's been doing it, and he'll keep doing it. Barah Ministries has an open heart. Barah Ministries' pastor has an open heart after a really long time. As the little kid said in Jerry Maguire, the duty man is back! I accept. Let's close in prayer. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you ever. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God, sometimes we just get sick of hearing in God's timing. And so, hurry up. We go boldly before your throne and say, hurry up. We know that you're orchestrating our success in every way. And we know that that orchestration consists of tribulation and adversity, and it consists of prosperity, and not in linear sequence, but simultaneously. But sometimes we just get sick of hearing in God's timing. Hurry up. I pray that all that are the other end of this message who are waiting for something, see your deliverance right soon. Hurry up. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.